Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Had a wonderful day. Let's all stand. Go to prayer this evening. I want to continue that. Let's all sing together, and we're going to go into prayer as we do that. Let's do a couple of verses. Let's sing to our Lord, Jesus Christ. Gather together in service tonight, dear Lord. You know each and every need here. Lord, you know each and every prayer request, those spoken and unspoken, those written. Lord, those that come across text blasts, those that are in our prayer box. But Lord, you already know what they are. You know the depths of our hearts. You know our thoughts before we ever speak them. Dear Lord, may we just give them to you. We're releasing them to you right now, dear Lord. We're asking you to be with those that have lost loved ones, dear Lord, for those that are sick. Those that are shut in, dear Lord. Those that aren't able to be with us this evening, dear Lord. Lord, we're praying for the lost and the needy, dear Lord. We ask you now to bless those that are in the nursing homes, assisted living, our elderly, dear Lord, and their caretakers. Dear Lord, for those that are watching online, you know their prayer needs, dear Lord. Reach out and touch them, dear Lord. It's not like they're any further away than we are. But we just love you. And dear Lord, we agree, Lord, that you're our mighty God, that you're our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, dear Lord, we bring you this service tonight. May we be in one mind and one accord. And, dear Lord, and release all everything to you. And be in tune to your word tonight as it's brought forth. And, Lord, we ask for you to receive each and every song sung, instrument played. And, Lord, every hand that's raised, dear Lord, every praise and hallelujah to be to honor you. And you alone, dear Lord. Be with our pastor and his family. All those that are on vacation, those that are traveling. Dear Lord, just give them that peace and rest that they so earnestly deserve. And dear Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory and the most wonderful name above all names. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. We come to you. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. We were talking this morning in Sunday school, and we were kind of reminiscing I had a small class this morning. There's so many activities going on. But I just was bringing up something that how we used to, not only here, but in other churches, we would come in and have the prayer rooms, and we would all hit our knees or sit or stand, whatever it was each individual did, and we'd just pray the service in. But nothing any better than lifting up the Lord's name of Jesus as we get started this evening. I want to welcome our visitors. Glad to see each and every one of you. God bless you. We hope and all. We're excited about the community outreach. You said it's the date. I didn't write it down. The 25th, our multi-church service next Sunday evening. We'd love to have everybody come. Anybody watching online, you're more than welcome. Come join us. We hope to have a packed house. It's always a wonderful time of ministry. God moves. You know, He moves all the time. But it seems like when we all gather together in His house and in His name, it just seems so powerful. And it's easier sometimes for some to release their needs and their desires. It's so much easier sometimes when we're in a group. When one comes to the altar, it takes away that shyness. Maybe the next one comes. And most of all, when the word goes out, because that's what we need to hear, God's word. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and sing a song this evening as we get started. Then we'll go to some special singers, take up our evening offering. Turn to page 92. I need y'all's help. I don't have the choir behind me. Miss Jennifer, just crank up your mic if you would, please. And all of y'all, crank up yours. And the ones that I've asked to sing, if you want to move this way and come on up and get ready so we get ready for the word tonight. But page 92, just a little talk with Jesus.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above. Just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.
Now let us
have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He will answer by and by. Now when we feel a little prayer will turn, then you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems dreary. Burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell Him all about our trouble. Yes. He will hear our faintest cry, and He will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turning, then you'll know a little fire is burning. We'll find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
You may be seated if you can. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening offering. And as I just had the announcement for next Sunday night, our community churches will be gathering together. I know we've probably had around four churches. I don't know how many it's going to be. Is it about four or five? Something? Five this week. All right. Five churches will be joining us next Sunday night. So make plans to come join. Just ask the Lord. Amen.
for you.
Sitting there listening to that song. I hear this all the time from pastors, and I think we're all guilty of this. You know, we're guilty of not sharing and testifying enough about what God does for us on a daily basis and throughout our lives, you know. And I think that's the thing. I mean, any time that we cannot show the blessing and the love that He's given to us to others, we're giving Him or discrediting Him what He's doing for us. And we don't need to do that. We can't be, I told someone this afternoon, I said, you know, we can't be ashamed of what we are being blessed with and what He's doing for us on a daily basis. Because without His love and mercy, Lord, where we would be. I know where I'd be, you know. Sure wouldn't be up here, okay. But on this song I'm going to do for you, I think this is one of probably the, to me, this says it all for me. This is my testimony to you and to the Lord. So listen to it. Listen to the words.
Ever cared for me No one else could break the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong in love in arms around me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
Thank you. Thank you.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Before I sing this song tonight, I look forward to the community service that we're going to have. I know God birthed something in me a few services ago about the PRC, and I'm now a volunteer at the PRC. And I volunteered in Tallapoosa, but we don't ever have that many appointments. So I've been driving all the way from Rottmart to Carrollton to volunteer. And each time I go, I'm just touched in my heart every time. And I know last Sunday when Brother Jason was here, I came up and asked for prayer. Chris and I was reminiscing on the way here tonight. Today, 12 years ago, is when his sister passed away. And we had to wait like 2 weeks for them to bring her back home from Hawaii so we could have her funeral. And 12 years ago is when I had my mini stroke. And God brought me through that blood clot, hitting me in the brain. And I messaged yesterday and asked Brother Jason and his wife if they would pray for me, because God's been dealing with me about stepping out and doing what he's called me to do. And it seems like ever since I came up for prayer, my body's been under attack. This morning I was getting dressed and I told my mom, I said, I have the worst chest pain right now. And I could feel it from here to my back. But I know when I get stressed out, the autoimmune starts going crazy. And one day while I was at the PRC this past week, I was standing there in an ultrasound and I was in the corner and I was looking at this little baby on the screen. And all of a sudden I felt this weakness coming on me, just like I did before, Brother Jason, when I was real sick. And I just prayed in my mind and I said, God, I'm not going back. I remember what Brother Rowdy said this morning. The healing don't always come the way you want it, but God is the one that heals. And I stood there and I claimed it. But every day I've been battling, just feeling like something's sitting on my chest. I don't know if it's stress or if it's just that I need to be obedient to what God wants me to do and just step out and trust him, because I know he'll help me through it. And I wanted to sing this song tonight. It says, why should I worry? Why should I fear? Because God is with me. And as long as I step out and do what he's called me to do, I know he's going to meet me there. Amen. Y'all worship with me and pray for me this week, because I'm singing at a revival and I'm also singing at a fundraiser for the PRC. So I'm going to step out. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And I know he's going to take care of the rest. Amen.
Storms raging high, the waters around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts, they felt they would die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. He spoke the words, and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obey his will. He calmed their storm just like he will mine. If I just remember, he lives deep inside. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible, when he walked with them, brought light to the darkness. When the way grew dim, how great it would be to have his footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master. I know he'll be there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on his name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, yet he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear?
For the very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, He stays always near. He lives in my heart, and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. Thank you, Jesus.
When you're up against a wall, and your mountain seems so tall, and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away and hide. Let the old man decide. You can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, You're all I need. You're everything to me, and He'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name, can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You'll see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone, so how can you be? When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, You're all I need. You're everything to me, and He'll take the pain away. Praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. if you'll just praise His name. Oh, then you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You'll see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone. How can you be lonely when everything falls apart? Praise His name when you have a broken heart. Raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and He'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name, then oh, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You'll see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone. How can you be lonely when everything falls apart? Praise His name when you have a broken heart. Raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. Greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name.
Seated for a few minutes. As we were reminiscing this afternoon, you know, God has a way of reminding you how He was there when you're all He needed. He has a way of reminding you how He's never failed you. How He'll always be there. I can remember, you know, God has a way of talking to you to really get your attention. God was telling me this afternoon, He said, you know, even though it's been 12 years, your sister only moved residency from her earthly house here on earth. The one glory land way in heaven. And you know, Brother Rowdy, in the lowest points of your life, that God is the most real. We read in Scripture that several times that God dispatched angels to help prophets, angels to help people. He dispatched angels to send the news that Jesus was born. Matter of fact, the Bible says it was an angel of war, oddly enough, that told that Jesus was going to be born and that He was born. But as I was sitting in that church, I can still remember just as vividly Mount Nebo Baptist Church in Belle, Florida. And I was sitting there and it was a full church. Brother Rowdy, I felt like I was all alone. I felt like the closest person was a million miles away from me. My sister had passed away. My wife was in a hospital in Gainesville. I didn't know if she was going to make it. And I was just, heartbroken was not the word. And I remember feeling so empty. And I remember saying, God, you feel like you're so far from me. You said you would never leave me or never forsake me. About the time that thought left my mind, I felt a warm presence come from the top of my head. And it was just like, Sister Jenya, God Himself sat down beside me, put His arms around me. He didn't have to say anything, but I knew He was there. And at that very moment, I knew that everything was going to be all right. And I go back to that testimony, just like Jacob went back to Bethel. And I say, God, you brought us through this. You're going to bring us through even more. You know, I was
Just the testimonies of the boys being born is a miracle. That in itself is a miracle. The testimonies of how I met Tabitha, or Tabitha met me, however you want to word that, was a miracle. What I'm trying to say is, if you'll let God move in your life, He will. Acts chapter number 16, I want to go to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Matter of fact, one that is preached quite often. I want to read one verse. This message was given to me a few months back. And sometimes, as a preacher of the Word of God, you live out the messages that you preach. Anybody that's preached the Word of God can attest to that. Sometimes you're a living testimony of what you're bringing the Word of. Acts 16, verse number 25 says, "And at midnight," look at your neighbor and tell him it was the middle of the night. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." For the gem, if you would.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray. Lord, as we prepare to go about the word, Lord, in the word has been read, Lord, we just want to pray to you. Lord, we ask now to open up our hearts and our minds, pray, Lord, that we will receive the message you have for us, Lord, we will give it to you. So, Lord, in every situation of our lives, we ask for your precious name, God. Bless him, Lord.
Amen. Just want to give a little backdrop of what was going on here in the book of Acts. Promise not to be any more long-winded than what the Lord would have me to be tonight. In the book of Acts, there was a lot of things going on. We know in Acts chapter number 2 that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going along, Paul and Silas are going along, and they're preaching the word. They come across this young lady who has a spirit of what they called divination. Anybody know what that is? Fortune telling. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you're going to a fortune teller, you need to get saved. You need to get delivered. Amen. This altar is open. If you're having people read the palm of your hands to know what's going on, there's an issue. Amen. I know somebody that knows my future, and his name is Jesus. And if I have my hand in his hand, he's going to lead me where I need to go. Amen. So this lady had brought her master's, this was a slave girl, she had bought her master's much money because, let's face it, people wanted to know what's going on in the future. You remember back in the day they had these phone numbers you used to be able to call. Back before we had cell phones, we could look at everything. You remember that? You're smiling. You remember, you know. Call this and you can find out what's your, this is your lucky lotto numbers. This is your fortune. This is all that. And, you know, now we just open the fortune cookies and read it. Oh, yeah, that's, like y'all don't do that. Every time I go, my wife, make sure get me a fortune cookie. You know, she ain't worried about, you know, she worried about that fortune cookie. She ain't worried about it's inside. She wanted that fortune cookie. I load her up too, you know, hallelujah. Yeah. But she brought her master's much gain. How many of you know that when money's involved, people really start taking notice? You can mess with a lot of things, but don't start messing with people's money. Don't start dabbling in people's money. When my wife, she was a head teller at a bank in Florida. And I used to tell her all the time, I said, "You must have one of the most stressful jobs of anybody that I know of. Because if people are going to get upset over something, it's over their money. You might give them the wrong food at Chick-fil-A, and they'll get away with it. But you give me $20 less back, or you make sure my paycheck doesn't go where it's supposed to be, we're going to have words. They're going to be an issue. Come on. Y'all act all holy and sanctified. Y'all are the same way." The other week, it's funny because you know, Laz and Gabe, they both bank at the same bank, which is our bank in Rockmart. And Laz called his mama up and said, "Mama, I got extra money in my account. Did you put money in there?" And she said, "No, I ain't putting no money in there, but don't spend it." Hold on. About that time, brother calls in on the other line. "Mama, I ain't got no money in my bank account." Long story short, guess what happened? You know, the boys, they don't exactly look like identical twins, you know. So Gabe goes up to the bank and said, "Hey, y'all put my money in my brother's account. We don't even look alike," you know. I'm like, "Oh." You know, so they were able to get the manager and they made everything right, you know. But long story short, when money's involved, people take notice. So Paul, after hearing this lady for a couple of days, Brother Jim, she was going around saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God." She was telling the truth. Because no matter how bad the devil wants to deny who God is, he cannot deny that God is God. He cannot deny that God is the most holy God. You say, "How do you know that?" Because whenever the demon came up and he said, "What is your name? Have you come to torment us before it's time, Lord?" Because they knew what was going to happen to them. There is nobody like our God. There is no Savior like our Savior. We serve the only God, and that's with a big G. Amen. So after a few days, and I'm sure it kind of got up under his skin, he turned around, Paul turned around and said, "Get behind me in the name of Jesus. I cast you out, devil, in Jesus' name." Now, how many times we walk around, we have them devils in our ear? Yeah. Like I've referenced before, a mosquito. Get a little mosquito. I don't care if 500 people is in that room. That little guy is going to bite me because I'm so sweet. And you know, people, "What is wrong with," you know? Why? Because I'm going to kill that thing. But yet we'll walk around with the devil in our ear. Yeah. You need to stop and take authority and say, "Get behind me, Satan." Just like Paul did. "I'm not here in your business because I got something that God wants me to do." Amen? So when Paul did that, he stood up. Well, all these people got in an uproar. In the book of Acts 16, and about verse 24, you'll start seeing they get up in an uproar. "Hey, these people right here, they're preaching a strange doctrine. This is not something we've been taught. This is a strange doctrine. We need to do something about this." So what they did was, they took him before the judge. "Judge, magistrate, this is the deal. This is what happened. What are you going to do?" All the people are just in a, "Oh, crucify him. We know." So the judge says, "What we're going to do is y'all are going to beat him with rods and throw him in the jail. But don't just throw him in the jail. Put him in the innermost dungeon of the jail." Innermost part. That's significant. If you're taking notes, write that down. "I want you to go in the innermost dungeon." So mind you, they're out doing the Lord's work. They're doing what God called them to do. As I was studying this message right here and thinking about it, God said, "How far do you go into the night before you start coming out?" God speaks to me like that. And I said, "Well, God, I guess about halfway. Because if I'm halfway in the night..." Oh, come on, somebody. This. Oh, hallelujah. If I'm halfway in the night, that means I'm going to be halfway out. So you got to understand, Paul and Silas have been beaten with rods. Not like, you know, with these little palm fronds or just, "Oh, you poor little thing." They were beat with rods. And, you know, they're thrown in the innermost part of the prison. Let me set that up for you. The innermost part of the prison is the deepest part. It's the lowest part. It's commonly referred to as a dungeon. There was no facilities, if you want to call them that, and the upstairs, luxurious part. Everything that had to happen rolled downhill. Y'all follow what I'm saying? It didn't smell very good. They weren't able to sit back on their luxurious couch with a remote control and watch a color TV and be in prison. Matter of fact, the Bible says that they were bound in stocks. And they were very uncomfortable. And I'm sure as Paul and Silas looked to each other, I can just imagine their thoughts. Because you realize they were human too, just like you were. But you know, come here, sweetie. But you know, she knows she's going to be part of this sermon. But you know, when you're in a situation, it's good to have somebody with you. Especially somebody that's good looking. Yeah. This is my ride or die. Found out what that meant a few months ago, Brother Rowdy. Ride or die, it means they're always right there. There's one person on this earth that knows me, it's her. If there's one person on this earth that loves me, it's her. If there's one person on this earth that prays for me, it's her. If there's one person that I get on their nerves, it's her. While we're being honest, just a little bit. I found that last nerve, and it must be pretty durable because it's holding up pretty good. When you're in the dungeon, when you're in the pit, when you're in the middle of the wilderness, it's good to have somebody that can pray with you and pray for you. It's good to have somebody that's going to stand in the gap and make up a hedge. Come on, somebody. It's good to have somebody that'll stand in the gap and the hedge comes around them. Amen. Come on. I'm not saying she's an angel, but I'm saying she's a God-given gift to me. Amen. It's good to have somebody that will sing to you when you're down and out. I'm here to tell you this life ain't a bed of roses. This Christian walk ain't a bed of roses. You never signed up for the good stuff, but the good stuff's going to come. I never signed up for the heartache. I never signed up for the trouble. I never signed up for the discouragement. I never signed up for the depression. But I'm going to tell you something. God gives me enough strength, and He puts enough people in my life, and He lets me know I love you, and I'm going to reach down to where you're at. Hallelujah. And I'm going to wrap my arms of love around you and show you that I'm good. He's a good, good Father. Yes, He is. But we look around, and it's easy, Brother Rowdy, to get depressed. And if I could be honest with you, I've been going through a wilderness, and it's been tough. And she'll tell you it's been tough. And I'll tell her, honey, I'll be glad when I come out of this wilderness. She sends me jokes during the day, randomly. You know what that is, Sister Jennifer? That's love. That's love. And I'll text her back sometimes, I don't feel like laughing. That's funny, but I don't feel like laughing. I don't want to laugh. She sends me pictures. She knows I love my dog. She sends me pictures of my dog just randomly. If you look at my phone, you think, man, that's a crazy relationship they got. Dog pictures and funny pictures and just random stuff, you know. But you know what? God put somebody in my life to help me. And I hope that I help her. I hope that I pray enough for her. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're in prison and it stinks. I was thinking today, you know, there's all grown-ups in here. People say, oh man, our wedding night, it was great. I'm going to tell you what we did on our wedding night. What I did. I helped change the transmission in the 84 Astro van, middle of the summertime in the sand. Yeah, that was fun. Never forget that. Honeymoon, didn't have one. It's been rough. But you know what? I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. To think of the roads that we've went down, to think of the roads that God's led us on. There have been some stinky situations we've been in. You go ahead and sit down, sweetie. We've been in the prison cell. I listened to a message by a well-known minister, and I enjoy listening to this lady. Matter of fact, so much that when my wife, she rides with me on Friday nights, I go out and deliver and stuff, and she writes me on Friday night. She said, you always listen to her? Always listen to her. Because she's got such good, godly truths. Just like eating chicken, eat the meat, spit the bones out. I was tuning in one night, and Brother Jason, she said, it's all right to not be all right. But it's not all right to stay there. I'm telling you, I had to pull the car over on the side of the road. She said, as Christians, we're taught that it's okay, that everything's going to be okay. Don't talk about your problems. Don't talk about your troubles. Don't talk about all this stuff you're going to. But you know what? We read it this morning, John 11:35. Jesus wept. He didn't cry. He wept, which meant he hurt. Weeping, oh, hallelujah. Weeping may endure for the night. There's been many times, and I have many stains on my pillow, where I would just cry and cry and cry. God, I don't even know why I'm crying, but I'm crying. Weeping, Brother Jason, may endure for the night. But the second part of that verse says, joy, hallelujah, joy cometh in the morning, hallelujah. It didn't mean in the sunrise. It meant in the morning time of your life, when everything's a new season, joy will come, hallelujah. As they're in the middle part of this dungeon, I'm sure that Paul and Silas are looking at each other, as me and Brother Jim probably would. And if I can quote off of Laurel and Hardy, y'all remember Laurel and Hardy? This is another fine mess you've gotten me into. And I'm sure they're hurting in their body. They've been beat. And they have questions. I don't know what we did to deserve this. Paul, I told you just to be quiet. Why'd you have to cast that demon out of that one? And they looked at each other, and they looked back and forth, and they're uncomfortable. They're in the stocks. Have you ever been in a place where you couldn't sleep at night because you're not comfortable? They're uncomfortable. And the Bible says, at midnight. I said, God, why wasn't it at 9 p.m.? Why wasn't it at 10 p.m.? Why wasn't it at 11, Brother Rowdy, 11:30 or 11:45? Why was it at midnight? Because in the middle of the night, they started to come out. If you're going through something, you're in the middle of it, I got good news for you. You're coming out. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, you're coming. I'm sitting up a mirror right here. This is for me. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Hallelujah. I'm coming out. I'm marching right on out of here. It seems like one thing after another, after another, after another comes. And the devil's constantly back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But let me tell you something. I'm going to just testify. The reason why I stand here is because God gave me a praying mama. God gave me a praying grandmama who would look at me on my birthday when she bought a brand new suit, and she would say, that's my little preacher man right there. Hallelujah. God gave me a praying wife, Brother Rowdy. God gave me a praying mother-in-law. Hallelujah. You see where I'm going with this? God's going to take you through some things, but he's going to put some people there with you that are going to go through it with you. Come on, somebody. You know, I kid tap all the time. People say, oh, man, you've been there through the thick and thin. It's been thin and thin with us. Ain't been much thick. It's been thin and thin. But you know what? God's always made a way. God's always made a way. As they're sitting there in the middle of the night, they're sitting there, the Bible says, and they prayed. Now, Brother Rowdy, it probably wasn't one of those, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul. You ain't never done that. My soul to keep. I'm sure they said, God, you know where we're at. God, you see us. You know you can bring us out of this. And after they got done praying, I'm sure it wasn't just a 5-minute prayer. I'm sure it was about a 30-minute or an hour long prayer. Might have even been longer than that. They started, I got a feeling. Everything's gonna be all right. It didn't look all right. Sister Sharon, they're looking around. It don't look all right because I'm still in prison, because I'm still bound, because I'm still hurting. It doesn't look all right, but I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling about that time. Watch this. When a builder builds something, they build it on a what? A foundation. When a builder goes, and I've never built a house, but I've seen how they do it. They go in and they start working the land, Brother Jim. And they'll work the land and they get it just like they want it and they start building a foundation. But what you don't realize is underneath of that foundation in your spiritual walk, come on somebody, is a man named Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. The deeper I thought about Joseph when he was cast into that pit, the deeper he was thrown into the pit, the closer he was to God. Because that's where the foundation was. The Bible says that Jesus is the foundation. He's the chief cornerstone. And if he's my foundation, when I go deep into that prison cell, hallelujah. I hope this touched you like it touched me. The closer I go to Jesus, it might look like a dungeon. It might look like a pit, but I'm getting closer to him. I'm getting closer to him because everything that I'm going through is an experience and it's bringing me closer to him. The Bible says at midnight, they prayed and they sang praises to God. And what happened? The foundation, look at your Bible in verse 25. The foundation shook. It shook. I read a couple of different commentaries that said, not only did the foundation of that building shake, but the foundations of buildings close by shook. Oh, come on, somebody. That's the God I serve. And he opened up every prison cell. Not just Paul and Silas's. He opened up every one of them. The prisoners are looking at each other. Hey, man, I've been in this prison before. And I ain't never heard nothing like that. I generally hear cursings and all this stuff. But somehow, in the middle of all this, those guys down there, either two things, Brother Jason, either they're crazy or they got something I need. Possibly the second one. Because when you can praise in the middle of your trial, that says something. I listened to a sermon, and this guy is talking about, he said, you know, it's easy to praise God in the good times. It's hard to praise God in the bad times. We know that. But if you're neglecting to praise God in the good times, then you'll never be able to praise God in the bad times. It'll be that much harder for you to do. You see, we're on the mountain. Everything looks good. Everything smells good. Everything's going our way. Life is just clicking by. Everything is good. We forget who God is. We forget to praise God. Sister Jennifer sings this song. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a troubled sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. But there's one thing I realized, that there's no prison that the devil can try to put me in. There's no depression, oppression, or suppression that the devil can try to put me in that my Jesus doesn't have the key to get me out of. Hallelujah. I was thinking going down the road this week, whenever Jesus raised up from the dead. I don't have my keys on me, but he said, I am he that was dead and am alive forevermore. And he didn't stop there. He said, and behold, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? I don't just have somebody that's going to help me. I have somebody who can change my situation. I have somebody that can move and change my situation. Hallelujah. As they're in the middle of that dungeon, I'm reminded that everything I go through points to somebody getting saved. Somebody needs Jesus. Somebody needs Jesus. God, if I got to walk on rocks, somebody needs Jesus. God, if I got to feel heartache, somebody needs Jesus. God, if I got to feel this pain, somebody needs Jesus. God, if I got to go through these struggles and all this and everybody else looks like they have it so easy, somebody needs Jesus. The Bible says that jailer who was given the order. Now, mind you, Paul and Silas, when they were thrown in jail, That wasn't where it was going to stop. They could have been easily killed for their crimes that they had committed. Easily could have. But the jailer comes to him and says, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" Takes the sword out. And Paul says, "Stop! We're all here. We're all here." And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I'm telling you, the song says, if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, it'll be worth every struggle. It'll be worth every trial. Hallelujah. The Bible says that night, not only him, but his entire household was saved. You're in a dungeon. You're in a pit. You're in a jail. It's all right to be there, but don't you stay there. Don't you stay there. There's a song out on the radio that says, "I am the child of the Most High God, and the Most High God is with me." Now, I thought about that, and I thought about, you know, I mentioned this morning in Sunday school everything that preachers have showed me in the Bible really helped me. And I thought about how Jesus is seated at the right-hand throne of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to be in that pit. Joseph only stayed in the pit for a short time. He was on the way to the mansion. If you're in that pit tonight, don't stay there. Don't stay there. It's all right not to be all right. It's all right because we have help. I know where my help comes from. My wife knows it at nighttime when I'm out making these deliveries that I can't see very good. Matter of fact, it's kind of scary for me because, you know, I don't like the dark. Never been a fan of the dark. But I have this flashlight. And Brother Jason, is as dark as it can get where I go to deliver at, all I have to do is pull out my little flashlight, open it up, and it guides my path. I don't worry about what I can't see. I worry about what I can see. I don't know who this is for. This wasn't even in my notes. I don't worry about the distractions over here because I can't see them. Or the distractions over here because I can't see them. All I know is God's lighting my way. And I'm following His path. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that He loves me enough that wherever He leads me is good for me. Wherever He leads me, I will follow. I will go with you. I've heard a story, I can't remember which minister said it, but they get up and they're going to go up to the top of this mountain and they're going to see a beautiful sunrise. And the guide says, "Okay, what we have to do is we have to get up really early in the morning," which is not really, really early, about 3 a.m. Get up while it's dark, and we'll go up there. It's about a 3-hour climb. We'll get up to the top. When we get up to the top, we're going to see the most beautiful sunrise. All you have to do is, we don't have enough flashlights for everybody, hold on to the belt loop of the person in front of you. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember having to do? Y'all never came from a big family. We didn't, you know. Hold on to your dad's belt loop, and somebody's holding on to you, you know. Don't let go of your dad's belt loop, because if I lost my dad, I thought I lost my life, you know. That was a fact. Hold on to the belt loop of the person in front of you. They go up the mountain, climbing, they're climbing, they're climbing. They get up to the top, and about that time, it's sunrise. And they're up there for 3 or 4 hours. It's the most beautiful experience they've ever seen, just jaw-dropping. About that time, the guide says, "Okay, everything's over that we're going to see. Let's go ahead on back down the mountain." One of the guys looks down and says, "There is no way I'm going back down that mountain. Do you understand that we were only that far from falling off that mountain?" And the guide says, "But you made it up here okay, because you didn't see the danger. Because you were whole, hallelujah. Because you were holding on to the person in front of you. And if I can just tell you, we're on a heavenly train. Don't worry about what can happen, or what could happen, or what might happen. worry about getting to heaven. You just worry about getting to heaven. You just worry about making heaven your home. Amen. You just worry about taking everybody I can with you. I got joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. So I'm sure as the time that the prison cells open, I'm sure I can hear that entire prison singing, I got a feeling everything is going to be all right. You know why? Because now they saw that it was. Now they saw that the prison doors are open and it is going to be all right. Because God worked everything out. Because he shook that foundation. But we don't want God to shake our foundation. We want everything to be just, you know. I interview my employees after they've been working for a few months. And I say, what's the one thing that you want to have? I want to come in and everything be smooth. I'm sure you do. I want that too. In life, don't we tell God that? God, I just want everything to go smooth. It goes smooth for so-and-so. They got it all under control. Their hair is always just, you know, and their makeup is always just, you know, and their clothes, and they got this, and they got that, and they're driving a brand new Cadillac. Man, that thing shines. God, but I'm in this old little VW something something over here. Barely goes. But God said, I gave you that car. Now, I don't have a VW. But if I did, that's what it'd sound like. I gave you that car. I gave you that house. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. You know what complaining is? Complaining is what the devil tries to build on to discourage you. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I'm trying to be quiet, okay? I'm meddling now, right? I complain. The devil says, yeah, look at that. I'll give you a case in point. This is how I am. My car, I was in an accident in, when was it, July? And, you know, I don't drive the best car. But, you know, every time I look at that thing and I see I was in an accident, it depresses me. Man, people think I can't drive. And people, now let me tell you something, when you're out on the road, people are like, you know, hey, look, buddy, I can drive. Just because this lady hit me, I mean nothing. And then a couple weeks later, I lose a hubcap off the thing. Man. Then, you know, every time I would come back and look at my car, of course, you know, Brother Allen is on the driver's side. And I'm looking at it, and I would feel just depression. Is that silly? Not to me. And I would think, man, Chick-fil-A got a brand new Kia. Only a Kia has a soul. I'm over here in this little bitty old, kick the tire. Then I start, this is me, 44 years old. You'd think I'd be driving something nicer than this. Come on, y'all ain't never been there. I'm just being transparent. 44 years old, 44, that's double 22. When I was 22, I could see I'm 44 years old. I'm supposed to be driving Corvettes. God, I'm supposed to be driving a Corvette. And you know that. And God's going, yeah, you know what you're doing of Corvette. God, I'm supposed to be driving nicer vehicles. I'm supposed to be in the prime of my life. I'm supposed to be. Y'all ain't never said that. I'm the only one. God, life was supposed to be easier for me. I'm faithful to you. But you don't understand, God. I've been faithful. Where is my reward? And God said, in 10 years, who cares? I'm working on a mansion for you. I had a dream last night. Y'all gonna think I'm silly. About heaven. Somebody picked me up. We was tooling around heaven in a 57 Bel Air. That thing looked good. And I'm telling you, Brother Jason, everybody was looking at us. Look at that. Is that Brother Chris? Yes, it is. Hey. You know what God was trying to show me? Lay not up your treasures here, where moth and dust doth corrupt. Don't you worry, buddy, about what you got going on down here. I'm going to take care of everything. But I got a mansion with your name on it. The contract, come on, somebody, don't expire. You're never going to get kicked out of that thing. You're never going to have to worry about another water bill, light bill, paying the rent, paying the house payment, paying the mortgage, paying the car payment. Come on, somebody. I'm never going to have to worry about pain. Hallelujah. I'm never going to have to be a grumpy goss anymore. Hallelujah, as my wife would say. Glory to God. But we build on our complaining. Cut the complaining. I should have looked at that car and said, God, I thank you for holding this thing together. I thank you for keeping it running. I thank you for watching over me. I thank you for keeping me free of any accidents. Come on, somebody. I thank you for the loving wife that you gave me that I can just mention something and boom, she goes out and gets it for me. Except for a Cadillac, Corvette. Those are beyond her threshold of spending limit, I guess, you know. If she could, she would. I'm telling you, if she could, she would. That's love, amen. Quit complaining and start focusing on God. I told the people I work with, they come in and they complain and they complain and they complain. I said, you know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to put me a little jar right here. Every time you make a complaint, I want you to put a dollar in it. And I guarantee you, I'm going to have me some money at the end of the day. I said, besides, I said, you know, you take a piece of paper, and I don't have it in front of me. You take a white sheet of paper, you put a black dot on it. Most people, you ask them, what do you see? They're going to say, I see the black dot. But you miss the complete white sheet of paper. There is a whole nother world that God is working on for your good outside of what you can see. My Bible says all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. It worked out for Paul and Silas. It's going to work out for me. It's going to work out for you. If you're in the prison, don't stay there. Get out. Tonight's the night God's going to shake that foundation. He's going to shake that foundation, and you're going to come out. Sister Jennifer, if you'll come, and the music, if y'all come, I want you to sing something upbeat, fast, moving, you know, one that's going to get your blood flowing, get your, you know, something. Because you know what? We have a reason to praise God. I remember, for some reason, Brother Jason, I can remember in 1984, I was only 6 years old, when Hurricane Elena came and hit Florida. My dad, we only lived a few blocks from the water. And my dad took us out to the water because he wanted to show us what it was like when a storm was in the Gulf. Y'all don't know anything about Elena. It came up and was on the coast of Florida for a few days there. Never really did make landfall, and it kind of went in and kind of went out and just kind of hung out there for a little bit. But I'll never forget. I was only 6 years. That was a long time ago, 38 years ago. When we pulled up in that little Astro van, and I looked out that window, and I saw the waves crashing. Where it was generally smooth. I rode my bike down there all the time. It was generally just smooth. You could skip rocks across it. And the waves were crashing. And all my life, as I went through storms, I was reminded of that and how Jesus was in the midst of that. I'm going to praise you in the midst of this storm because you are good. Not because of what you've done for me, but because you are good. Amen. I'm going to walk out of this valley, lift my hands, and praise the Lord.
Up a little bit higher, gonna walk right out of this valley with my Lord. Well, I'm gonna walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Ain't gonna let no Satan get me down, down, down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's waiting.
waiting up a little bit higher. I'm gonna walk out of this valley with my Lord. Now when the Lord let down the hedge on Job to try him, took all of his children and everything he owned. But no, Job didn't sit down and cry. I know he lifted his head up high, came up out of that valley, thank God, with a whole lot more. Well, I'm gonna walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Ain't I gonna let old Satan get me down, down, down? Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's waiting up a little bit higher. Gonna walk right out of this valley with my Lord. Well, now the road we've got to travel to that city, well, it won't always be on the mountain high. But you know the valley we've got to face, God said he's gonna give us grace to come up on the hill where the sun is shining bright. Well, I'm gonna walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Ain't gonna let old Satan get me down, down, down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's waiting up a little bit higher. Gonna walk right out of this valley with my Lord. Well, I'm gonna walk out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Ain't gonna let old Satan get me down, down, down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's waiting up a little bit higher. Gonna walk right out of this valley with my Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I don't know about y'all, but I can just feel it. Just praise Him in the storm. Even in that darkness, even as we walk. The rain seems so rough and tough as we were praying earlier. You know, God knows where we're at. He knows what we're feeling. He knows the situations. But when we give it to Him, and we move forward anyway in the name of the Lord, praise God. Because He'll open those doors that seem that there is no way. God, I'm a testimony to that. You know, I feel like tonight, if there is someone, and I really feel like there is, that needs prayer tonight, that needs to, that releasing, and as the word was brought forth, and as a wonderful message, I just think that, just let you know, tonight's your night. If you have a prayer request or need, please come on up. If you're uncomfortable, now's still a time to let it go. Give it to God. Righty. Well, we love you. So excited y'all were here. Those watching online, thank you for joining us at First Pentecostal. Don't forget our community service next Sunday night. It's going to be very large. 5 churches will be involved. Be a large crowd here. We're really like excited about it. Spread the word. They don't have to be a member or visit or a part of those churches. Anybody can come. So spread the word, and we'll just fill the house for the Lord. Praise God. Brother Chris, thank you for the word. Thank you for obeying the Lord. All hearts and minds clear? All righty. Well, I'm just going to give you a personal invitation to be here Wednesday night. Don't forget about our Wednesday night service. I know the crowd varies. I know sports events, school events don't honor Wednesday nights anymore like they used to. We need to be in prayer about that too. But we just love you. I want to ask you to join me in prayer as we close our service. What a wonderful day. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this service, for your word. Lord, may we put you first in every challenge that comes against us, dear Lord. May we just walk by faith, dear Lord, that we just hear your voice, dear Lord. Be in tune to your word and, dear Lord, for your direction. Lord, I thank you again for those in attendance tonight. Dear Lord, I ask you to bless them and their families. Dear Lord, strengthen them. Those watching online, each and every prayer request, we thank you, dear Lord, for the healings and, dear Lord, for the situations that you've carried us through. Lord, now as we prepare to depart, I ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. We're going to pray in the most precious name of all, the name of Jesus Christ. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Praise God. I don't know if your middle name was Mike.
I've got...
got my hand on the gospel plow, and I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout, there'll be no critics to put me out. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on.
And you know the best part after that, or even
hold on, hold on. Just keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Oh, Peter thought he was so nice and neat, till he didn't need Jesus to wash his feet. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Jesus said, Peter, if I wash you not, you'll have no part in the gospel plot. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Hold on, hold on. Just keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Well, Paul and Silas in a Roman jail, they had nobody there to go their bail. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Well, they begin to sing and they begin to shout. The door swung open and they walked out. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. Hold on, hold on. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. I've got my hand on the gospel plow, and I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on. I've got my hand on the gospel plow, and I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Keep your hand on that plow, hold on.